Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
Had a whole bunch of people send me the case from the Supreme Court, Kansas versus Glover. And I think I did a video about this. I know I've talked about this before in the past regarding this case. And it's an interesting case involving what police can use to pull you over when they see you driving in traffic. What's the standard they have to follow? And this has come up in many different contexts on my channel. I've talked about whether they, you know, have the right to just pull you over for no reason, or if they can pull you over for suspicion or reasonable, you know, what's the standard that they need to pull you over? And the situation is this, and I'll summarize it very, very briefly, but then we'll visit the Supreme Court opinion, which just came off the presses, hot off the presses, on blue paper for some reason. And basically, here's the story. Guy's driving down the road in Kansas. He has a bad driver's license. He's not licensed to drive. And suspended license. And a police officer driving behind him runs his plate. And the plate comes back as being a valid plate on the vehicle it's on. But it comes back as being plated to a guy who's got a suspended license. So the police officer, doing a little bit of deductive reasoning, goes, the vehicle is legally on the road as far as the registration goes. But the guy behind the wheel, odds are, if it's the owner, well, then he's driving on a suspended license. Police officer pulls him over. Turns out his hunch was correct. And so the question is that a good basis to pull somebody over? So the district court, the trial court in Kansas, actually said no. No, there's no basis for that stop. That stop had no reasonable basis. So the district court threw out the case. The state of Kansas appealed, and the appeals court spun it around and said, yeah, it's a good stop. They took that to the Supreme Court of Kansas, who said, nope, bad stop, and it's unconstitutional. So because of the fact that they invoked the Constitution in these arguments going up and down, state of Kansas then takes it to the U.S. Supreme Court. And the opinion came down, like I said, yesterday. And here's the deal. Supreme Court said, no, it's a good stop. It's a good stop. And it was an 8-1 ruling. Only one dissenter. Now, I've seen some headlines, some very, very reactionary headlines. People freaking out. Oh my gosh, the Supreme Court is now saying they can pull you over for anything. It's not what they say. They don't say that. And so, it's not as bad as people are making it out to be. But I will do my best to unpack this for you. Justice Thomas wrote the opinion and was joined by Roberts and Ginsburg, Breyer, Alito, Kagan, Gorsuch, and Kavanaugh. And Kagan filed a concurring opinion in which Ginsburg also joined. And Sonia Sotomayor was the lone dissenting opinion of the bunch. This case presents the question whether a police officer violates the Fourth Amendment against unlawful searches and seizures by initiating an investigative traffic stop after running a vehicle's license plate and learning that the registered owner has revoked driver's license. Revoked. We hold that when the officer lacks information negating an inference that the owner is the driver of the vehicle, that stop is reasonable. And Thomas, later in the opinion, says they're very, very narrowly tailoring this ruling. So it's not going to apply necessarily to other settings as easily as some other Supreme Court opinions might. But Kansas charged respondent Charles Glover Jr. with driving as a habitual violator after a traffic stop revealed that he's driving with a revoked license. He filed a motion to suppress the evidence seized during the stop, claiming that the officer lacked reasonable suspicion. And that's the catchphrase, reasonable suspicion. Neither Glover nor the police officer testified at the hearing suppressing that evidence. Instead, the parties stipulated to the facts. And that is that there's a police officer certified who's on the job. He was on a routine patrol when he observed the truck. The truck had a plate on it. He ran the plate. The plate came back as registration on that vehicle. Also shows that it was affiliated with Charles Glover. Files indicate that Glover had a revoked driver's license and that the deputy assumed the registered owner of the truck was also the driver. So he has to make that leap. There's no evidence before him that, yes, the man behind the wheel is the man in these records. The deputy did not observe any traffic infractions and nothing else. Didn't even attempt to identify the driver. based solely on the information that the registered owner of the truck had a revoked license, he initiated the traffic stop. And the driver of the truck was indeed the man who had registered the vehicle and who had a revoked driver's license. Okay, so the district court granted Glover's motion to suppress. The Court of Appeals reversed, and then the Kansas Supreme Court reversed. And so they had all hinged everything on, did the deputy have reasonable suspicion? Did he have reasonable suspicion? Because the inference that Glover was behind the wheel amounted to pretty much a hunch, right? It seemed logical, but is something like that really a basis for pulling this person over? Thomas writes, under this court's precedence, the Fourth Amendment permits an officer to initiate a brief investigative traffic stop when he has a particularized and objective basis for suspecting the particular person stopped of criminal activity. So although a mere hunch does not create reasonable suspicion, the level of suspicion a standard requires is considerably less than proof by a preponderance of the evidence, and obviously less than is necessary for probable cause. Because it is a less demanding standard, reasonable suspicion can be established with information that is different in quantity or content than what is required to establish probable cause. The standard depends on the factual and practical considerations of everyday life on which reasonable and prudent men, not legal technicians, act. Courts cannot reasonably demand scientific certainty where none exists. Rather, they must permit officers to make common sense judgments and inferences about human behavior. And all of those sentences I just read you are quotes from other Supreme Court cases. So citing Alabama versus White, Navarrete, Ornelas versus United States, Illinois versus Wardlow, and so on. So Thomas isn't just making this stuff up. He's saying, look, we have a long chain of precedent here that says that reasonable suspicion can be based on things, including common sense inferences from what the guy sees in front of him or the gal. We have previously recognized that states have a vital interest in ensuring that only those qualified to do so are permitted to operate motor vehicles, and that licensing, registration, and vehicle inspection requirements are being observed. Now, I know the sovereign citizens out there who say that driver's licenses aren't required hate to see when the U.S. Supreme Court says, hey, it's settled law. We've already ruled on this. That's Delaware versus Prowse, a 1979 case. But with this in mind, we turn to whether the facts known to Deputy Mirror at the time of the stop gave rise to reasonable suspicion. We conclude that they did. And he then goes back through the facts of the case, that the officer observed a person driving a truck, he ran the plates, and it was a common sense inference that the owner of the vehicle might be the guy behind the wheel. Now, the fact that the registered owner of a vehicle is not always the driver of the vehicle does not negate the reasonableness of the inference. Such is the case with all reasonable inferences. The reasonable suspicion inquiry falls considerably short of 51% accuracy. For as we have explained, to be reasonable is not to be perfect. Glover's revoked license does not render the deputy's inference unreasonable either. Empirical studies demonstrate what common experience readily reveals. Drivers with revoked licenses frequently continue to drive and therefore to pose safety risks to other motorists and pedestrians. And the Supreme Court opinion here goes on and on with statistics, including one, for instance, noting that 75% of drivers with suspended or revoked licenses continue to drive. And I've been in court before in a courtroom that had a window facing the parking lot and seen someone come in and plead guilty to driving on a suspended license. The judge asks, is your license been reinstated yet? Person says, no. Why is it suspended? I've got a bunch of stuff I haven't paid, traffic tickets and so on. Person pleads guilty. They pay the fine. They walk outside, get in their car, and drive off. The police officer could have chased after him, pulled him over, and gotten him again. Okay? And when the fish keep jumping back in the barrel, you hate to keep shooting them, apparently. So although common sense suffices to justify this inference, Kansas law reinforces that it is reasonable to infer that an individual with a revoked license may continue driving. The state's license revocation scheme covers drivers who have already demonstrated a disregard for the law or are categorically unfit to drive. So he points out that somebody like the guy in this case who's had his license revoked and is apparently accused of being a habitual offender. It's more likely that someone like that's going to drive on a suspended license. And again, that plays into the basis that the police officer has to go, I bet that's him behind the wheel. Glover and the dissent respond with two arguments as to why the deputy lacked reasonable suspicion, neither of which is persuasive. First, they argue that the inference was unreasonable because it was not grounded in his law enforcement training or experience. But nothing in the Fourth Amendment precedent supports that notion that in determining whether reasonable suspicion exists, an officer can draw inferences based on knowledge gained only through law enforcement training and experience. And, you know, that's one of those things. If you are ever in court, jury instructions will often tell you that you're allowed to use your common day knowledge and experience to make inferences about how people behave or why they behave. You don't have to go, I'm not a psychologist. I don't know why the guy did that. Really? Sometimes you do. The dissent also contends that adopting Kansas' view would eviscerate the need for officers to base reasonable suspicion on specific and articulable facts. That argument carries little force. As an initial matter, we have previously stated that officers, like jurors, may rely on probabilities in the reasonable suspicion context. So, you know, I know a lot of people are saying, Steve, but doesn't this give the police a whole bunch of leeway? No, they're basically saying we're just reinforcing what we've already said. The guy didn't pull this, the deputy didn't pull this guy over for no reason. He had a reason. Now, you might say, but he didn't have proof. Proof's not required, okay? It's the reasonable suspicion. And is it reasonable to suspect that a car being driven down the road with one person in it is being driven by the owner? Is that reasonable? And the Supreme Court says it is. And I don't think that's that crazy. And I had someone send me an email, and they actually said that they were either appalled or aghast by this opinion. And I don't really see that because it's not so out of the range of what they've previously ruled. So again, the reasonable suspicion, and you have to ask yourself, so if the police officer pulled the man over, said license and registration, hey, you're revoked. And the man said, why'd you pull me over? The cop goes, no reason. Just driving down the road, pulled you over. No reason. This opinion says that that would be a bad stop. You can't pull him over for no reason. And I actually saw a headline about this article. Somebody slapped something together yesterday and put it up on the internet and said the Supreme Court has just ruled cops can pull you over for no reason. No, they didn't. It's not what they said. They ruled on one very, very narrow instance. And the narrow instance is, could a police officer reasonably suspect that a vehicle, which is registered to somebody with a suspended license, could they reasonably suspect that when there's one person in the vehicle driving, that might be the person with a suspended license? Is that a reasonable suspicion? Is that a reasonable suspicion? Now, we can argue all day long, because reasonable, obviously, there's no math on this. Reasonable is 48, 40. No, we don't know. Reasonable is not a bright line concept. And suspicion is not a bright line concept either. I can't tell you that, oh, this is suspicious, but this is not. Or this is really suspicious, this is less suspicious. How do you quantify suspicion? You can't. But reasonable suspicion is the kind of thing that they're saying, look, you know, it's very, very difficult to define, but there does appear to have been a basis for the reasonable suspicion in this stop. So I know a lot of people think that I side with the police too often. It's crazy because you should see the hate mail I get from police. but on this case, I think the Supreme Court got it right. 8-1 decision authored by Clarence Thomas. And if you want to read it, it's all over the internet. I'll put a link to it below in the comments or in the description as well. But there you go. Glover versus Kansas, U.S. Supreme Court came down just the other day. Questions or comments, put them below. Otherwise, I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. It's always something.